Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Well, as the Turkish lira hits a record low against the dollar and the U.S. doubled tariffs against Ankara, Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says Ankara will not allow Washington to bring it to its knees. What is really behind the tension between Turkey and the United States? Stay with us as we take a look at all of this on this debate.
Relations between Turkey and the United States have fallen to their worst in the past few months. Washington is angry at Ankara over an American pastor detained in Turkey. It's been trying to push Turkey into freeing him. The US took a series of measures against Ankara that sent the Turkish lira to an all-time low against the US dollar. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is now furious at the US, saying Washington risks losing a strategic NATO ally over a jailed man.
It's wrong to try to bring Turkey in line for a pastor. I'm once again calling on those in America. It's a pity that you choose a pastor over your strategic partner in NATO.
Relations between the two countries have strained over a number of issues in the past few years, but the fate of Andrew Brunson escalated the tensions. Pastor Brunson, who has been living in Turkey for two decades, was arrested in October 2016 as part of a crackdown campaign that started after a failed coup in Turkey in the summer of 2016. He was charged with supporting two terrorist groups in Turkey. Relations began to deteriorate as Turkey refused to free the pastor. Ankara was angry at Washington since the US refused Turkey's demands to deport Fethullah Gulen, the cleric living in Pennsylvania, who President Erdogan has accused of ordering the failed coup. Pastor Brunson's case brought long simmering tensions to boil. In the middle of June, the US showed its discontent with the failed negotiations over the freedom of the pastor when the Senate voted to block the sale of F-35 fighter jets to Turkey. US President Donald Trump also met Erdogan in Brussels at the North Atlantic Treaty Organization summit and talked to him over the issue. Brunson's freedom seemed guaranteed, but he was just released from prison to be put under house arrest at his home in Izmir. This made US officials furious. Vice President Mike Pence sent a message to Ankara.
I have a message on behalf of the President of the United States of America. Release Pastor Andrew Brunson now, or be prepared to face the consequences.
Last week, Washington imposed economic sanctions on Turkey's justice and interior ministers, accusing them of human rights abuses. This led to a deep plunge of Turkey's lira. Then, on August 10, Trump announced plans to double metal tariffs on Turkey. In a tweet, he said the US relations with Turkey are not good at this time. Turkey said the measure is against the World Trade Organization rules and vowed to retaliate. The next move is not clear. The US says it will take tougher steps against Turkey. Ankara says it will respond even worse. It seems that the fate of a man can create yet another trade war and break the two allies apart.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, political commentator Hatem Yavuz out of Istanbul and former U.S. diplomat Edward Peck out of Washington, D.C. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start it all off in D.C. And Edward Peck, what do you see as the main problem being behind the deterioration of Turkey-U.S. relations?
Well, I fear that it is another sign of a lack of understanding about the correct way to advance national interests on complicated problems. And I would suggest that one of the problems is that you should not go public with threats and attacks, because that does not advance your interests.
So you're saying part of the problem is just being that everything is taking place in public or on Twitter or social media. Is that part of the overall problem?
Yes, I think it is. You know, it's so much. I'm a retired diplomat, and diplomacy is a word that has a specific meaning. Be diplomatic, so that you can advance your interests most effectively by not damaging relations in public unless it's really a very, very serious issue.
Okay, well, Hatem Yavuz, why do you think that the U.S. is playing such hardball against Turkey, allegedly because of a minister?
Actually, it's not a minister.
Yes, as far as I can tell.
Well, if you notice, the U.S. is in a big war with everyone, except for Israel and Saudi Arabia. So we have to look at the scope of this diplomacy as our counterpart, which he's a retired and I'm an ongoing diplomat. And I've noticed that the U.S. losing its grip on world affairs is using cheap tools like Twitter to talk about diplomacy or to negotiate, which we call diplomacy. And the U.S. at the moment is obviously failing. And that's why they're using cheap tactics such as Twitter. And if you notice, the U.S. Negotiating strategy is only about bullying, threatening, and one of the examples are the trade wars with many of the world countries, many of the world leading countries. Now that fourth leg is after China, Russia, Iran, the fourth leg is Turkey. And if they can get Turkey to bow down to the US pressure, then it might have some gains on its own platform. But Turkey and Erdogan, President Erdogan, is not going to bow down. Turkey is going to go in its own course. It's totally wrong to say Turkey is moving towards Russia or towards China, but options are on the table to have close alliances with Russia or with BRICS is the word, BRICS. The Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, that alignment. And using the Brunson, the Pastor Brunson, is just a pawn for not to negotiate. I mean, people think that the pastor is the problem. No, the pastor is not the problem. There are 15 other U.S. citizens in jail in Turkey, and they are also on the negotiating table.
Okay.
They don't want Turkey to buy S-400s from Russia. They don't want Turkey to get involved in northern Syria, which is Turkey's backyard, not Russia. The U.S. backyard. The Gulen movement, terrorist Gulen movement, and 15 July coup attempt is 100% American-made, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, stay with me.
Turkey,
let me get Edward Peck back in and stay with me, Hatem Yavuz. Stay with me. Edward Peck, do you agree with our other person on the panel out of Istanbul when he says that this is just an excuse? My question is the detention of Pastor Andrew Brunson just an excuse for Washington to put more pressure on Turkey?
Well, I think I would have to agree with his overall presentation because it reflects a violation, in my mind, it reflects a violation of everything around which diplomacy is built. You don't threaten. We have now, the United States has, is he talking?
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I hear this echo. We have now so many countries that are upset with us in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in the Middle East, where we have offended them by dragging into the public view criticisms that we have for what they're doing or not doing. And that is not the way you advance your interests in today's world. And in fact, I think it could be said very safely now that it's counterproductive, but certainly something that we are doing just about everywhere, just about all the time.
So if it's counterproductive, let me go to Hatem Yavuz, if you agree with our guests in D.C., if it is counterproductive, why do you think that the U.S. is being so aggressive now against Turkey?
Let's go back to history. Once upon a time, they used to call the Ottomans the sick man of Europe. Okay? Now, the world is calling the Americans drunk on their power. They are absolutely drunk on their power. And they are only using bullying force, provocative, unprofessional, and unlawful, by the way, unlawful in the world, whether it's United Nations, whether it's the world WTO, whether it's the Iranian deal with the JCPO agreement. Can you imagine? You make a deal with 5+1 and get it endorsed with the United Nations for lifting of the sanctions with Iran, and you just throw it in the garbage. I've never heard this in my life. That's not diplomacy.
Okay, so what does the United States want out of this? Edward Peck, you've said a couple of
times. I'll tell you what it wants.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll tell you what it wants. It wants to put the pressure on each country and then set them on the table and try to work an agreement that robs that country's statehood. It's a highway robbery agreement. And they've tried it with, for example, North Korea, with Pompeo going to North Korea and explaining all these absurd proposals. The same thing with what they did with Germany and penalized Germany with over $20 billion of penalties. In return, Germany imposed billions of dollars of penalties on American firms. So this is going to continue. You don't threaten your allies or your potential enemies, by the way, when you're negotiating. This is not negotiating skills. This is simply you are drunk on your power.
Okay.
That's all I call it. That's how I call it.
All right. Well, Edward Peck, your take on it. I mean, Turkey is part of NATO. The United States and Turkey are allies. However, with this situation and ties deteriorating, do you think it's going to affect NATO itself?
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, there are some very strongly divided opinions within the United States as to the best way to deal with these issues that we are discussing. People thinking this way, people thinking that way. And I happen to be on the side of having been able to observe how much more effective it is if you don't consistently keep sticking your finger in the other person's eye, especially in public, because that arouses ire and rejection. And it actually, in my opinion, and based upon my own over 30 years of experience, makes it harder to attain what it is you'd like to attain if you make the other people angry, embarrassed, infuriated, if you will, threatened, hit with punishments before they do anything. And it just is not productive.
Well, what's going on then, Edward Peck? You said you have 30 years, sorry to interrupt you, 30 years of experience in the diplomatic field, and obviously diplomacy has been studied. So we have a president in the White House that is basically like the bully on the block. Tell me, what about the check and balances there? Is there no entity that can control him? Or is it just this game for him to go out front and threaten everyone? And then people, of course, because of either being intimidated by what the United States can do to him, perhaps they think that Washington thinks it can get a better deal that way? How do you see it? Staying in D.C.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, I posed that to Edward Peck again.
Who's the question for?
Edward Peck.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, ma'am.
No problem.
Yes. Nobody seems to be able to put a brake on the situation for a lot of reasons which have been well publicized. One would hope that just in the year and a half that we've been going through this, it would become reasonably obvious, except to people whose minds are totally closed, that this is not a productive way to conduct your affairs in the world, especially a world which is being shaken by natural disasters and wars and uprisings and collapsed economies and all kinds of things which are seriously detracting. And the last thing that we should be wanting to do is to increase those worries, those tensions, those fears. That is not, forgive me, this, I don't mean this to be funny, but someone once said that a diplomat is an individual who can tell you to go to hell in a manner that makes you look forward to the trip.
Okay.
You're trying to get somebody to do something
yes.
that you would like them to do.
Obviously, you don't have
like
a diplomat in the White
you
House
don't
right now.
Do it.
Let me get Hodson back in on this conversation.
I know. As a matter of fact, we don't.
Hodson.
Actually, you know what the funny part is?
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know what the funny part is? I see that Donald Trump is striving to do. Proper deals with each of these countries that it's fighting with. However, there are supreme powers that are overriding Trump. For example, the evangelistic mullahs, headed by Mike Pence, and other factors who don't allow Trump to actually suffice from its deals. For example, the Helsinki summit a couple of weeks ago. It's all in the garbage now with new sanctions on Russia.
Okay, well, Hodson,
that's an example.
Listen, I just want to get a couple more questions in because we're running out of time, but there's been a big drop in the lira now since Trump announced the doubling of tariffs on Turkish steel and aluminum. I want to know, first of all, you think that Turkey is going to be able to withstand this? And the other side of that question is, how do you think, or is it likely that this will also backfire on the United States and its economy?
Turkey's not big enough to affect U.S. economy, but this domino effect is going to be partnershiping with China and Russia and other countries together will affect the U.S. economy. I see that Turkey will, in the short term, have a lot of financial difficulties in the private sector, especially in the domestic sector, where they have to rely on imported goods. But whereas the export sector will be probably jump by about 15 to 20% as predicted. However, the Turkish lira, yes, it's hurting the daily lives if you're importing. But Turkey is a very self-sufficient country where 70% of its production is local, domestic, and only 30% is imported.
Okay, well, Edward Peck,
but it will survive it.
Edward, let me get Edward back in on this. I think there's some delay that you're having also, Hodson, and sorry about some technical problems. But
yeah, right.
If Edward Peck, when we look at the situation, there have been some analysts talking about Israel and perhaps playing a role in this increased aggression by Washington against Ankara. Your take on that side of things?
You know, it's so difficult to figure out.
Edward
even,
Peck.
You know, I live here in the Washington area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And I'm watching carefully, and I find it very difficult to see a pattern in what it is our government is doing, literally around the world, other than alienating others with words, with accusations, with threats, with economic punishment. That is not the way, I think, that you advance your interests and towards your goals. It is totally counterproductive, as many people in my country agree, some don't. They happen to be in power.
Well, back to Istanbul. And Hatem, how do you see this all resolving itself? Because it seems that it's right now the hostility is growing and increasing between the two countries. What do you think is going to happen or what needs to happen?
If I know President Erdogan in my diplomatic arena, he will go head to head with Trump. Because he will not take any rubbish from the United States. It's already at default with its relationship over the Gulen, Fethullah Gulen, the PKK funding of billions of dollars of weapons, the stalling of the F-35 sales, which could trigger the start of the end of the breakup of NATO. It could trigger, but however, Turkey could, in retaliation, close its airspace for U.S. military involvement within this region, which will fracture the U.S. Power in this region. And it's done that before in 1975. And with the fear that Turkey was going to enter the Soviets, they reopened the sanctions. They cancelled the sanctions against Turkey, and in my opinion that if I know Erdogan, he will go head to head with the US, and frankly speaking, we will lose economically. But without Turkey doesn't have massive nukes, so without nukes, Turkey can go into a direct fight with the US without worry. Because it's fought many powers in the past.
And I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Hatem, but we are out of time. Appreciate you being with us. Political commentator out of Istanbul, Hatem Yavuz, and former U.S. diplomat Edward Peck of Washington, D.C. As always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing off for myself and all the crew. See you next time.